Well, it's time to begin, and Brother Pugh is on the schedule for the Bible reading, and he's not able yet to be out, so I will go ahead and do that and then go into this morning's lesson. Selected for the Bible reading, 2 Kings chapter 12, verses 19 through 21. 2 Kings 12, 19 through 21. Now the rest of the acts of Joash and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? His servants arose and made a conspiracy and struck down Joash at the house of Milo as he was going down to Silla. For Jozachar the son of Shimeath and Jehozabad the son of Shomer, his servants, struck him and he died. And they buried him with his fathers in the city of David. And Amaziah, his son, became king in his place. With the lesson this morning, we conclude the December series on the good kings of Judah. And I think we put good in quotation marks. And particularly in today's lesson, that's applicable. Because the term good is an interesting term. It could be used in an absolute sense, but in any study of human beings, even the characters of the Old Testament, even the heroes of the Old Testament, we are not talking about sinless men because they essentially do not exist. As Paul tells us in Romans, all sin and fall short of the glory of God. The kings of Judah in this study are, and in the list of the good kings, are those that for at least some significant portion of their life won God's approval. Some of these men lived their entire life in faithfulness to God, but others are considered good in relationship to what the nation experienced with other kings who were not good. And that's definitely true of the father and the son that we are going to examine. Now, we are out of order here. Joash and Amaziah actually came before Uzziah that Alan talked about last week. But we put in this order because Joash and Amaziah are considered good kings, but there's very little said about them. And so we just put them here to cover them both before we go on to a different series. And so I think to understand how they would even be considered to be good kings, you have to know the conditions around them. And so what we had was a period of deterioration of the monarchy in the kingdom of Judah. When Jehoshaphat dies and his son Jehoram follows him, and that's in 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 50, a decline begins. Jehoshaphat remained faithful to the Lord his entire life, but he did some unwise things. He married into Ahab's house. And while he himself remained faithful all his life, when we talked about Jehoshaphat, we did observe that that had affected his family. And that was the case with Jehoram. His reign is marked by unfaithfulness. 2 Kings 8:18 tells us that he departed from Jehoshaphat's ways and walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. And his reign did not last very long. He reigned 8 years, and he died, and he was replaced by his son Ahaziah. And Ahaziah continues in those sinful practices that really characterized Ahab's house in Israel. Not only the worship of the golden calves, but particularly the indulgence in the worship of the Baal and the Asherah. 2 Kings 8 and verse 27 tells us that Ahaziah walked in the ways of the house of Ahab. And so we're told in 2 Kings chapter 9 that King Jehu, who was the new dynasty that succeeded the house of Omri, which was the house that Ahab was in, he overthrew the house of Omri, killed Ahab and Jezebel, or Ahab was actually killed in battle, but killed Jezebel, and he also kills King Ahaziah of Judah, because he considered him to be a part of Ahab's family. And Jehu takes the throne in Israel. But when Ahaziah is killed, his mother, who was named Adaliah, and who is the granddaughter of Omri, and that would have made her either the daughter or the niece of Ahab, depending upon which of Omri's sons was her father. She is the mother of King Ahaziah. And 2 Kings 8:26 tells us that the daughter of Ahab had become Jehoram's wife, so that could be Adaliah. But they had multiple wives, and all we know about Adaliah for sure is that she is also a direct descendant of Omri, as was Ahab. So Adaliah, according to 2 Kings chapter 11, tries to murder all the descendants of Jehoram. That would be her own grandchildren. And she usurps the throne of Judah. And so you have a period of time in Judah where it's being ruled by the queen mother. And she's as ruthless as any of the kings of either Israel or Judah. And she attempted to destroy all of her own descendants, her son's descendants, so that no one would have a claim for the throne. But Ahaziah's sister, Jehosheba, rescued Joash, who was one of the children. And this can tell you an awful lot about their family life. She evidently didn't know who all of her grandchildren were, because she tried to murder them all, and yet her niece manages to hide one of them in the temple. And so he is spared. And after 6 years, Jehoiada the priest anoints Joash as the king and puts him under the protective custody of the temple guard. He actually is raised in the temple under the protection of the temple guard and serves as a king, but he's very young, so actually Jehoiada the priest is ruling the nation through him. He puts Adaliah to death. And so it's against this background of what it was like after the death of Jehoshaphat, that here comes Joash and Amaziah. So in relationship to that, they're really good. Okay? Even though they have some very serious flaws and were not faithful to the Lord all their life. So saying that, we'll look just for a couple minutes at the reign of Joash himself. And some of the basic facts about him is that two different names are used for him in Scripture between the Kings and the Chronicles. He's either called Jehoash or Joash, and I think you can see that one is the shortened form of the other. Like, my given name is Michael, but the only people that ever called me that was my mother when she was really upset with me. And some of you are nodding your head, you understand how that worked. I've been Mickey or Mike my entire life. Nobody ever called me Michael. And that's what you've got here. Jehoash is the longer form of it, but also very commonly called Joash. And both names are used for him in the Scriptures. The accounts on Joash are found in 2 Kings 12 in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. He was age 7 when he was anointed king by the priest. And he reigned for over 40 years over Judah. 2 Kings 12 and verse 1. Now, why he is considered a good king is because of the scriptural evaluation of him in 2 Kings chapter 12 and verse 2. Jehoash did right in the sight of the Lord all his days, but notice that there is a qualifier put in there. All his days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. So while he was under the influence of Jehoiada the priest, Joash was the kind of king that God wanted in Judah. And so what were some of these things that he did while he was under the influence of Jehoiada? In 2 Chronicles 23, verses 16 and 17, we're told that the images and the altars of Baal were destroyed. And those had been re-erected and reborn during that period after Jehoshaphat's death. And that he had Matan, who was the priest of Baal, executed. So he began to remove the Baal worship that had been growing again under the two previous kings and the usurper, his grandmother. 2 Chronicles 23 also tells us that he put the Levitical priest back in charge of the temple. His ancestors had actually used the temple for Baal worship, parts of it. So the temple had to be restored to its purpose, and he ordered the temple repaired in 2 Kings 12, verses 4 through 12, and 2 Chronicles 24, 4 through 7. And with the money that was voluntarily contributed by the people, Joash replaced the utensils and the service items of the temple that had been defiled because Adaliah had used them in the worship of Baal. And so they got rid of the old ones and had new ones made. And all that happened as he was king and as he was being guided by Jehoiada, who basically had helped save his life as a child. But the second phase of his life happens when Jehoiada dies. Jehoiada lived to be 100-some years old, so he lived a long time. And for the vast majority of Joash's reign, Jehoiada was there to be his advisor, to be his counselor. But what we're told in Chronicles is that after Jehoiada dies, he comes under the influence of other counselors. And they had a corrupting influence upon him. They influenced him to abandon the temple. And that probably should best be understood as they convinced him that the commanded temple worship wasn't necessary. And he embraced the worship of the Asherim. But probably the worst thing that stands on Joash's record is his treatment of the family of Jehoiada the priest. Because God sends Zechariah, who is Jehoiada's son, to rebuke Joash for worshiping the Asherah and for neglecting the temple worship. And 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verses 20 through 23 tells us that Joash simply did not remember, and that is, he took no account of what Jehoiada had done for him and protecting him and saving him. And instead, he orders Jehoiada's son, Zechariah, stoned to death because of his rebuke. And so he kills the son of the man who saved his life and who counseled him for all of those years. And that displeases God. obviously. And God allows Judah to be defeated by Syria. Syria invades Judah in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verses 23 and 24. And then in a bit of irony, his own servants assassinate him the same way the servants of his father had assassinated his father before his grandmother usurped the throne. And so he came to that same kind of tragic end. So a reign that started out as being a positive thing in the service of God turns tragic and ends with his death. And when that happens, his son Amaziah assumes the throne. Now the accounts about Amaziah are found in 2 Kings 14 verses 1 through 14, very brief, and 2 Chronicles chapter 25. He was 25 years old when he became king, so a good bit older than what his father had experienced. But he did not have the benefit of a mentor like Jehoiada. He was surrounded by the same kind of advisors that had corrupted his father. He reigned for 29 years, according to 2 Chronicles 25 and verse 1. The evaluation of Amaziah that causes him to be listed as one of the good kings is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 25 and verse 2. It says, he did right in the sight of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. And so he had a commitment to the Lord, but it was not as strong as David or Jehoshaphat, some of those who are widely praised in Scripture. There's two positive examples of this commitment to the Lord and doing right in the sight of the Lord that are contained in Scripture. One is that he obeyed the law of Moses in dealing with those who assassinated his father. This story is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verses 3 and 4. Because once he had the throne, he took the servants of his father who had conspired against him and assassinated him, and he executed them. But the chronicler makes a point of saying he did not kill their children. And the reason for that was because it said he obeyed the Lord, because in Deuteronomy 24 and verse 16, it says that children should not die for the sins of their fathers. And so he was committed enough to the Lord that even though he saw that justice was done to the conspirators, he obeyed what the law said about that, and did not do anything in punishment to the family, the children and grandchildren of those who had assassinated his father. A second example of his faithfulness was there was war with Edom. In 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verses 5 through 13. And he was going to hire mercenaries from Israel, again, even as his father, grandfather had tried to do. But a man of God comes to him and tells him that he should not use these mercenary troops. That he should just trust in the Lord and the Lord would protect them from Edom. And so Amaziah did that, and he dismissed the 100,000 paid soldiers from Israel and went to battle against Edom only with his own people and with a trust in the Lord. And God gave him a great victory over the Edomites. Now, his failure was that when he conquered the Edomites with God's help, among the spoil that he took from them was their idols. And those would have often been made of precious metals and adorned with precious stones and so forth. So from a matter of value, they might have had a lot of earthly value. But what we're told is that when he came home, he allowed an altar to be set up to them and that he worshiped them. And so the great irony is God gave him the victory over Edom, and the people of God, with God's help, defeat Edom and Edom's gods, and yet he turns around and starts worshiping Edom's gods. And so the result of that is that God allowed King Joash, another Joash, this goes back to the fact that these families were related through Ahab, and that these names carried down common names, but there was now a King Joash in Israel, and God allowed them to defeat Amaziah because of his unfaithfulness in the matter of the idols of Edom. And for a third time in this short period of history of the kings of Judah, Amaziah himself is assassinated by some of his servants who became conspirators. And so after the death of Amaziah, Uzziah, his son, assumed the throne, and as we studied last week, had a real long reign and was generally a very, very good king. And better kings are yet to come. Some of the best kings in the history of the kingdom of Judah are yet in the future before they come to an end. But we'll have to save those for a better study. But in those cases, those two kings, Hezekiah and Josiah, so much is said about them, we could probably study each one of them for a month like this and not get all the stuff that's in the scriptures about them. But we'll save that for a later time. So that concludes our study of these particular kings. Brother Gary, I think, has the prayer, and then we will be dismissed to our class.
Schooler, Heavenly Father, our most giving and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this time we have to come together. We are so thankful for your church, and we pray continue to be with this congregation and the eldership here and their families. We pray that you continue to be with them, and we're so thankful for your word and what it reveals to us. Help us to know you and continually grow in knowing you, and help us to love our fellow man, love one another, and we pray to be with us during this time of the virus, that you protect us all and protect our earthly families. We pray that you continue to be with our hearts, that it'll be soft and we'll be receptive to your ways. We thank you for Jesus, who's died for us. Please forgive us of our sins, and it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.